Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
All right, it's WTIC. Good afternoon. Psyched to be here, as always. A lot going on in the world. It just gets wilder and wilder all the time. Today we've got the death of O.J. Simpson and the realization for me, looking back and realizing it's been 30 years almost. This year is the 30th anniversary, I believe. We've got a guest here, Dr. Carol Lieberman. She's a forensic psychiatrist who has some overlap with the O.J. Simpson case. And I thought it'd be fun to just get some perspective there. So, Dr. Lieberman, thanks for joining us on WTIC.
You're very welcome.
Tell us about your overlaps with the case or O.J. or what you know about him.
Well, when his trials were going on, particularly the criminal trial, I was a staple on TV news analyzing the trial, analyzing the witnesses, analyzing just all various aspects of the trial because, you know, I'm a forensic psychiatrist and expert witness, so I testify in murder cases and all kinds of cases.
Okay.
That was the first part. I think that was my introduction to him because I really wasn't a big football fan.
And are you California based? Were you in those circles?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. At that time I was. I mean, okay. I'm from New York, but yes, I was then. Another connection is that I wrote a book called Bad Boys, Why We Love Them, How to Live with Them, and When to Leave Them. And I talk about 12 different types of bad boys.
Okay.
And one of the types was the Prince of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the abusive type. And O.J. was the star example that I used in that chapter about that type of bad boy. You know, I talk about, I use it when I treat patients, too, as far as like using the example, you know, women who are with men who are abusive. I give the example of Nicole and how it was the night that he finally realized that she really was going to leave him. They were at a ballet recital with their daughter, and Nicole, the way Nicole was acting towards him, he knew this was the end. And that is when men who are abusive, particularly wildly abusive, violently abusive, will act. It's when, you know, that's the most dangerous time when a woman tries to leave a man.
And is that because they fear being embarrassed, humiliated? Or is it that kind of dynamic?
It's because of abandon. I mean, that's part of it, but it's abandonment. It has to do with their childhood. Everything has to do with one's childhood, but it has to these abusive men. It has to do with experiences in childhood that when they were felt abandoned. And in OJ,
so there's something deep being triggered.
Yes, yes, yes. And in OJ's case, his mother had a baby right after him, and he was literally replaced at the breast by this new sibling. And so that felt like an abandonment. Plus, his parents went through a divorce, and his mother was never home. So those abandonments of childhood made him very sensitive to any signs that a woman he loved would abandon him.
Fascinating. All right. So I love your background on this, and I love that you were part of the punditry class 30 years ago. Is that when this happened,
1992 is when she was killed.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, so the one of the things I was thinking about the case just in the last couple of days before I heard about OJ dying, and I was thinking about who those people were, the prosecutors and all those dynamics in the courtroom and Judge Ito and. Yeah. And it occurred to me that we don't really have a narrative for looking back on it. Like, how do you look at the case and say, what was the lesson for America in terms of whatever the standout dynamic is, TV and court coverage, big cases, famous people, whatever?
Well, you know, it was very, very discouraging, I think, I had just started working as a forensic psychiatrist and expert witness. And it was very discouraging because you know, in his criminal trial, he was acquitted, of course, we all know. And that it was just, you know, that just seemed like the wrong decision, the wrong verdict. And so it was kind of discouraging. Like, do juries really not get it right? And what is the point of all this? And a lot of attorneys felt like that, or experts felt like that. So, you know, of course, then in the civil trial, they did find him guilty or found him responsible. Of course, as of the last time I spoke with the family, the Goldman family, they still hadn't been paid. They were awarded millions of dollars. I don't remember the exact amount, but they were awarded millions, and OJ never paid them.
And there was no way to get the money because it was in NFL trust accounts or something?
It was a whole complicated thing. Now, I've been wondering, actually, whether now that he died, whether there's anything in his will, you know, that he had to put, or some kind of arrangement where they will finally get reimbursed. I don't know. But it is really sad because, for Nicole and her family and Ron Goldman, I mean, it was such an unnecessary, unacceptable loss, such a tragic loss. So,
we're talking to Carol Lieberman. She's a forensic psychiatrist and was active covering the OJ case 30 plus years ago. So the one thing that stood out and stands out is what you just alluded to, the jury nullification. I think it was the first time I'd ever heard the phrase and the idea that a jury could just decide it wasn't going to decide the case the way the evidence had suggested because they objected. And that was a whole window into America's relationship to its urban areas and to poverty and powerlessness and all that. And it seems like that was a big opportunity for us to look at ourselves and see a problem. And I feel like that ball got dropped.
Well, you're talking about how it brought out the conversation of racism.
Yes.
Yes. And you know, of course, depending upon how one feels about all of that, you know, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, it shouldn't be, cases shouldn't be decided based upon someone's race. It's interesting because that was, you know, so many years ago, and race was playing such had such an impact then on the case. I mean, some people might disagree with that, but certainly it was certainly talked about, and certainly now, you know, it's not like things have gotten better as far as race being. I mean, people not being decided whether they're guilty or not guilty, it shouldn't be based upon race. That's the bottom line.
Yes, I mean, it shouldn't be, but the whole idea of that nullification moment is, if that's what actually did transpire in the OJ case, is that there's no other avenue for that need to have a mechanism of expression available. There's no other place for them to express themselves, so they use the jury verdict and refuse to give what the whole country is waiting for and the world is waiting for. It was a remarkable moment, but it shows us what the last 30 years has been in terms of, at least we now know what the problems are in cities and in government and its failure to not much has changed in urban America, and not much has changed except that these dynamics have now kind of run out of control. They've boiled over.
Well, you know, we have been seeing sort of an increase in the influence of other factors rather than the evidence, you know, rather than the facts. For example, you know, in trials, George Floyd, for example, you know, that, I mean, I guess you could maybe make parallels between George Floyd and the O.J. Simpson trials. I mean, of course, you know, I mean, in an opposite kind of way.
Yeah, it's hard to sort out the parallels, but it does reveal that we still have those issues unresolved, I guess.
Right, right. And just other, you know, even other kinds of cases, not race, not where race is involved, but even other kinds of cases where we have mobs outside the courtrooms, you know, and you have to wonder whether how much that influenced the actual jury. But we have had recently, we've had some positive kinds of outcomes, juries making positive outcomes, you know, with the Crumbly case. So there wasn't anything, it's not like there was race or anything involved, but I mean, they had to go through very hard decision making, made a precedent setting case, and they did do the right verdict and sentence.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, you've got responsible parties. The media tried to make it sound sort of controversial, but I don't think it was.
Well, yes. I mean, because that had to do with people feeling like, well, we shouldn't be put in jail for bad parenting. But it was far more than bad parenting, and the judge made that clear in her when she was giving the sentence, 10 to 15 years. She said, this isn't about bad parenting. This is, you know, they made very specific things that were, took acts or did not take acts that very specifically led to this outcome. So, yes, it was controversial. It was a controversial case, but in the end, it really showed that parents do need to be responsible for their kids. Because they are the ones who mold their children from the time that they're babies. So, yes.
We're talking to Dr. Carol Lieberman is here, forensic psychiatrist who worked on the O.J. case in terms of reporting it for news outlets. The aspect of O.J. that probably has the most carryover into other issues and relevance still has to do with the abusiveness factor that you started off talking about. How do you feel like we have progressed as a society in terms of dealing with abuse inside of relationships? And would that case, if it were happening right now, would that have played out differently? Would they have been dealt with by a court, for example, do you think? Would she have gotten some protection?
Well, you know, it's still very hard. It's still, she did try. She was in love with him. She did try to get some protection. It still is very hard for women to get protection, you know, to get restraining orders. And even, you know, actually, the truth is that even if you do get a restraining order,
doesn't mean that much, right?
It doesn't really mean that. Like, if, for example, if she had had a restraining order at the time, which I don't think she did, but if she had, you know, that wouldn't have stopped O.J. She would have still been killed. I mean, that's part of the problem. In some places, it is easier now than it was then to get restraining orders. But, you know, there are lots of ways that men can ignore those orders. And I mean, it can be really quick. You know, you could be out in the street and what do you say? Oh, no, you're not supposed to come near me. But if they have a gun or some other weapon, a restraining order doesn't mean much. But of course, it is better to have. I mean, women should absolutely, you know, but here's the problem. It's a double-edged sword. Because when a woman goes to get a restraining order, then that aggravates the man all the more. Like I was talking earlier about mm-hmm. how when the man feels that he's going to be abandoned, like he had been by his mother in childhood, that makes him increasingly angry. And so when a woman goes to get a restraining order, she has to be extra careful, you know, that of not being around the man. I mean, some women have to move. They have to take all kinds of precautions, change lots of things to try to make it so that the man can't find them.
What have we learned in the 32 years since the O.J. murder the about the power of rich people in the legal system and the incompetence of government in general. In terms of, because it did seem that the case was not handled that great. Let's start there, actually. It was Judge Ito incompetent?
Well, there were, I think he was, you know, at that time, cameras in the courtroom that was a new concept. And he was a bit, even when it wasn't in the courtroom, even, you know, all the interviews afterwards, after each day and so on, he was not equipped to handle all of that. I think that that sort of influenced him in some ways. You know, it made him like it does have an effect on you. Now, of course, the more experienced someone is with having cameras on them, judges or lawyers or whatever, the less of an impact it has. You know, they're more able to concentrate on the case at hand. But I think he was at that point still kind of overwhelmed by his new celebrity status.
It did seem that that was more than he could cope with. How about in terms of prosecution in general? Did they also wilt under the pressure? Because it is, without experience, it's a very hard thing to even comprehend how intense the scrutiny can be.
Yes. Well, you know, of course, OJ had this dream team, and, you know, he had unlimited funds, and so it was kind of an uneven match. But it wasn't long after that that I had my first experience of being cameras in the courtroom. When I was testifying, it was from the Jenny Jones talk show murder trial. Do you remember that?
I remember the reference, but I don't know what it was about.
Well, it was about she had someone on come on who was ambushed because they were told that the topic was someone has a crush on you.
Or
the
yes.
guy who was told someone has a crush on you. And it turned out that it was a same-sex secret crush. That was the topic of the day.
Okay, and I'm sorry, doctor. We've just got a minute left, so focus in on making your point on that.
Okay, well, just that, that's it. Just that I have experienced that myself.
And
it can
what,
be very daunting.
Yeah, it's overwhelming stuff. All right, Dr. Carol Lieberman, it's so nice of you. We reached out a very last minute, and you were nice enough to do it, and I appreciate that. It was fun to get your insights.
You're very welcome.
That's Dr. Carol Lieberman, forensic psychiatrist, who was on TV all the time back during the OJ trial. OJ died today of cancer, or at least the news was released today. And if you have any thoughts on it, any observations, anything you want to say, it's just a big landmark in our lives, you know? Just one of those things brings us back to our youths. Our Utes. So let's talk to Fred Middletown. Hi, Fred.
Hey, just a quick remembrance of this great radio guy, Jay Diamond, who was broadcasting during the trial. And he said, you know, as opposed to doing the job himself and botching it and then having to get, you know, seven high-powered lawyers to defend himself, he should have hired, like, seven good hitmen. And then one average lawyer could have gotten him off.
It's an interesting point. He wouldn't have needed seven hitmen, probably. Maybe two would have done.
Right, but yeah.
They would have been shooting each other.
Well, right. But then there's that saying, yeah, the time to talk to a lawyer is before you commit a crime, not after. Yeah. All right, that's all.
Thank you for that, Fred.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Figured you would have written a poem real quick. 860-522-9842. I was thinking about... I was trying to remember Christopher Darden's name, I think it is, one of the prosecutors. They just seem so sad and hapless, that lot. Judge Ito and the woman, I can't remember the woman's name, who prosecuted the case. Or was she the defense? Now I don't even know. Who was the lead defense attorney? No, that was Johnny Cochran. Yeah, so the woman was on the other side. She was kind of an interesting character. The... Christopher Darden, it was just in, I recall last fall seeing a note that he wanted to run for L.A. district attorney or some equivalent thing of that to that. But I don't know if that's already happened or if that's just gearing up. It would be interesting, though, to revisit some of those characters. OJ is gone. Didi Dewitt, what do you think? Is there anyone who doesn't feel very high levels of certainty that OJ was the killer of his wife? Who disagree with the assumption that he's guilty? Are you one of them? I love it. And why do you not think he did it? Oh, you we stepped right into an area we don't want to go into. No, we don't have time right now. I get it. Okay, we can pause right now for a news update, and we'll talk some more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
After news on WTIC.
Why wait? Come on. Oh, come on. Why wait? You can rant right now at 860-751-4698 on the Todd Feinberg Show.
Okay. It's WTIC. Kind of a big anniversary for the country. Not a big anniversary, but I mean event for the country. The death of O.J. Simpson. He was acquitted of the murder of his wife and her friend Ron Goldman on October 3rd, 1995. So it's roughly in that 30 years ago range that this thing was top of the news. And I just think it's a fun thing to talk about, including with Roland, producer Roland, who is amongst those, amongst the 3 to 5 people known nationally to believe that
three to five million
individuals who believe that OJ was an innocent man. So explain your perspective.
I just think he made a statement one time. He said, "I'm not black. I'm OJ." Mm-hmm. And I think he may have gotten a little bit too big-headed for himself.
You mean you think there were repercussions for having said that, or that he misinterpreted his place in the world?
Yeah,
he couldn't escape being black simply by being famous and rich and powerful.
Correct. And I just think he didn't, kiss that ring anymore. Whatever that upper echelon is, he just didn't kiss that ring anymore. So they had to get rid of him.
I mean, I can see where that theory would be something for you to examine and look for confirmation that was at play. But do you think that somebody else killed her and that they just picked him out because they were out to get him at that point, or what?
Yeah, just set him up all together.
Mm-hmm. You mean like did the murder, or somebody else did the murder in order to get OJ?
Correct.
Wow.
Also, I was 13 when this was happening. I was a freshman in high school. Mm-hmm. I was attending a very, very religious church. It was like a if you do anything wrong, you're going to hell type of a church. And the pastor at the time, came to the Sunday service and delivered his message. And at the end of the message, he said the Lord told him that OJ was going to get off and he was innocent. And he said, "You watch what happens." And at the end of the trial, when they said he was innocent, when he was acquitted, mm-hmm. Kids are very impressionable. So
yes.
That just blew my mind. I was just like, I believe in Jesus real extra hard now. If he told the pastor that OJ was innocent and that actually happened. Yeah. So
I love stories like that because somebody told me a story like that when I was young, and I can't remember what it was, what the details of it were, but it was similarly structured, and it made me realize that if you're going to make a prediction, you should make a prediction for the least likely thing you could imagine happening, because nobody's going to remember that you said it if you were wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it comes true, you look like you do have a straight communication with God.
Yeah. That got me on. I was a wild kid, too, at the time. So it definitely
worked.
Yeah, it worked. It had me looking up all the time like, all right, this dude, he's really watching me.
We have to be thankful for that, Roland. Anything else you want us to know about OJ?
No, I guess I just seen personally experienced so many different situations where minorities were set up for different crimes and whatnot. So mm-hmm. I've seen it with my uncles and several and other people in our neighborhood. So that's why I was leaning more towards that opinion. But also if it comes out that he actually did it, then I think people tried to do too much to ensure that he was going to get caught with the glove, and I think they messed they went too far and messed themselves up too. So you can look at it either way.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. And
there's another life lesson. Always make a big statement rhyme if you want people to remember.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that, Roland. Appreciate it. So Roland says OJ not guilty of the murder of his wife. Rob in Middletown. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Todd. I definitely disagree with Roland. I don't think it was divine interaction. I think it was divine interaction that started to make his lawyers drop like flies. That thing called karma.
So Johnny Cochran, was he the first to go?
Was it him or was it F. Lee Bailey?
I think Johnny Cochran beat F. Lee Bailey by years. Yeah, F. Lee Bailey just died a couple of years ago, but Johnny Cochran before that, I believe.
I remember the time vividly. It was a much simpler, better time. I was taking my wife out on her first date. I was in the bar, went in the bathroom, and the Bronco Chase was on the screen. So that was a little bit of history with me.
That chase was one of the most dramatic television moments ever, was it not?
It was. I'll never forget my father calling me up. OJ's in trouble. I said, what? He said, turn the TV on.
It was hard to believe that he was in that car and he was holding a gun in the back and he was suicidal, I guess, was the moment.
Can I remember like it was yesterday, and the prosecutor's name was Marsha Cross, the female.
Marsha Cross?
Wasn't it?
I don't know. It's the Marsha part sounds right.
Marsha
sounds correct.
Yeah.
I'm gonna double check you on that though.
I just can't believe it's been 30 years, man. Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I don't know what to do with that. It's just one of those time warp things where
it was like the last years that big government wasn't in our faces. All the
in
our faces.
Marsha Clark.
Marsha Clark. There we go. I knew it was a C. It was
Marsha
half right.
Clark. All right, Rob. Thank you for that. It's good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Anybody remember Marsha Clark? Oh, it's like an old movie, you know. It's not real. Al calling from Plainville. Hi, Al.
Hello. That famous tagline, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Well, I was thinking the prosecutors had to be the dumbest stumps that there ever were. I remember I was out cutting wood with leather gloves on.
Uh-huh.
I forgot them. They were left out in the rain. When I finally got to them and they were dry, you could have given me $1 million and I would have never got those gloves on. I could not believe how much they shrunk mm-hmm. from being wet to dry. And I'm sure there's some people out there that have experienced that with work boots. If they get soaking wet and they dry,
they get stiff too, right?
Yeah. And it was like, what? Where's the prosecutor to say that's a natural reaction of leather when it gets wet? Nobody brought that up. I was pulling my hair out. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I heard a lot about that at the time, that it was crazy to. Well, first of all, you don't you know that thing you about not asking a question you don't know the answer to?
Right.
Why would the court ever allow a theatrical moment? Because I remember OJ putting on those gloves as if he was, it was the most difficult act a human had ever undertaken. To try to put those gloves on, he was contorting his body and making it look like he was pulling so hard on those things. And clearly that it was the kind of thing that Judge Ito must have just been so distracted by his moment of national power that
he
couldn't just tell them, this, we're not doing this. Don't be ridiculous.
Right. Exactly. I mean, the whole trial was a farce. I do agree with Roland. I do believe they planted different things to try and make it a sealed case, mm-hmm. and it ended up biting them. You know, I do believe they did that.
And what was it that you think they planted? Do you recall?
Oh, 30 years ago. No, I
come
don't.
Come on, man. This is like, top of mind.
I know.
Did it have to do with his clothes in the washing machine or something outside? There was stuff outside
was
that was suspicious,
else,
right?
Something was about outside, and it was like that was planted.
Oh, because
but
the
Mark
cop.
Furman was going around.
Mark Furman, yeah. So Mark Furman, yeah. Everybody thought he was planning
it's coming
out, which he might have done.
Coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. If you think of anything, call back, Al. That's good stuff.
You got it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
860-522-9842. OJ died yesterday, 76 years old, cancer. Roland says he didn't do it. Not that Roland didn't do it, but OJ didn't. Roland says that OJ didn't do it. Roland's going, I was only 13. Leave me alone. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take some more phone calls. Coming up on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
Marcia Clark has worked all these years as an attorney. How about that? I feel like we're talking about a sitcom or something from 30 years ago. It's got that pop culture kind of vibe to it, but no, it was a murder trial. And it was O.J. Simpson, who was a huge star, TV ads and movies. And Chris in Berlin, hi.
Hi. Remember when it came out that Marcia Clark was having an affair with Chris Darden? And it was a big to-do, and I couldn't understand it. I mean, they were on the same side. They were both prosecutors.
Yeah, it made sense because it's an intensive process to go through.
And if she was having an affair with Kardashian, that would be different.
That would have been a little strange, yes, because they were on opposite teams. But the race thing, I would guess, is what you're suggesting made it. That you didn't think about?
No, I didn't think that. I thought that they were both prosecuting, and it was a conflict of interest. They were both on the same side, mm-hmm. what I was thinking. I don't know. It was a big deal that they were having an affair. I didn't think of race.
It's funny, I don't remember it that much as a story that they were
having.
Oh, yeah,
it was a big deal when that came out.
How long? Was that during the trial or after or what?
Just right after, mm-hmm. I think. I don't remember that well. But that was a good guess, that Dr. Lieberman.
Yeah, she was interesting, huh?
Yeah, I would like to see her and hear her again with, you know, other cases, famous cases that she testified to.
Interesting idea. Yeah. I got an email that she was available like 20 minutes before the show started. So I reached out to her representative.
Oh, that was interesting.
Yeah, it was fun to be able to get her. Thank you, Chris. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
We got Rob licking the boot here. Rob, do you have a conspiracy theory with regard to OJ and the murder? Hello, Rob. If it doesn't fit, you must quit, Rob. That didn't get him going. Well, geez. You know what some people do? They put the phone on hold and they just go about their lives and they forget they even did it. 860-522-9842. You want to hear something else strange? Is it? All right, I won't. No, I won't do it. I'll save this because we only have a second left. But the O.J. Simpson just carries you way back. I remember certain things. Like, I remember when the verdict came down and somebody asked me, well, does that mean he's just going to be released? Does that mean he's just going to be released? Like, that's it? And I had trouble explaining how that could be, that he was just going to be released. I said, well, we have a system that says, you know, if you don't get convicted, they can't try you again for the same crime. There's no double jeopardy. And they don't get to say, oh, we blew that case, but we're going to hold him anyway and keep trying him until we convict him, which is, I think, probably more like how most legal systems work. How do you feel about the injustice, if that's how you view it, that O.J. got away with murder? How do you feel that? Is that just because he was a rich guy? I assume everybody thinks he got off because he was a rich guy, right? Only a rich guy that could happen for. Doc's in Harwinton. Sorry to grab you quick like that, Doc, but I wanted to get you in before we run out of time here.
Well, I appreciate it. Back to the O.J. thing, there were two things. One, the guy was that called about the wet gloves was totally right. The other thing is he had gloves on underneath the gloves, see, because they didn't want to contaminate the evidence.
Oh, while he was trying to put them on.
Yes. So he had those, I forget what they're called, but they're like thin rubber glove.
Yeah, like doctor's gloves or something.
Yeah.
And that made it harder for them to be pulled over, you think?
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, that doesn't slide into anything else very well because it's a surface meant to grab things with.
Yes.
And then you've got a glove that's shrunk because of the moisture. It's like, hello, where's your thinking on this, people? It was so ridiculous.
That was such a bizarre court moment, considering even cheesy TV shows make a big deal out of the logistics of trying to get a certain thing into evidence. Like, is the judge really going to let you have your client in real time try to put on the gloves and show how hard it is to get them on? It's so ludicrous, Doc.
It is. It really is.
I'm getting mad at you just thinking about it now.
Well, I'm getting mad at you for making me think about it.
Thank you, sir. We got to run. Appreciate it. Traffic time. Yeah. That's Hollywood. Yes. But they wouldn't even let that into a Perry Mason. That was so bad. All right. We've got Nomar, Christopher Tate, Ian Clark in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Is that where we're going?
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.